Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Richie Neal, Secretary Clinton has rolled out her new book. I read an interesting story in the paper today in which they talked about, in one of the papers, they talked about her need for money. She said when they left the White House, they were broke. They were broke before they came into the White House. They've been taking speaking fees of massive proportions all over the world, and now the book comes out. What are your insights into all of this?
Well, I mean, I think that you can make the argument that people that do enter public service frequently don't enter into it to earn money. And afterwards, they find that there is the opportunity to earn money. And I don't think that when you consider that President Reagan traveled to Japan and picked up a $2 million speaking fee after he left the presidency, or that President Bush and President Clinton and others have taken speaking fees, I don't think that I see anything wrong with that. The problem is, obviously, that it's very important how you explain that you sought the speaking fees. And I don't think that anybody wants to suggest that a former president is going to be poverty-stricken, because there's very little reality to that.
The Congress has made clear that they insist that the president, former presidents, be supported. You're right about that. But what do you make of the book?
Well, I've just read the reviews, and certainly it is a very dominant conversation here in Washington. Myself, I would come to the quick conclusion that this is part of the narrative of an announcement for president. Use the book to clarify. Use the book to self-inoculate yourself against the criticisms that are sure to come. But nonetheless, because you're doing it before anybody else does, you get a chance to manage the narrative. And I think that going right to the hot-button issues where your critics are going to find common ground with you is very important. And I think taking the initiative on Benghazi, which doesn't poll in terms of a big issue with the American voter, I think clarification and the opportunity here to discuss it based on you having home field advantage simply makes good sense. But there is little question here that I think that this is the beginning of a presidential campaign.
Would you be very, very, very surprised if she turns around and doesn't run?
I'd be very surprised. I've known them for a long time. I've been a big supporter of theirs. I've had a very unwavering friendship with them. And I'd be very frank, I think that Bill Clinton had six. The last 6 years were pretty effective years for the country. The country really embraced extraordinary economic growth, and 22 million jobs were created. And recall that the budget was actually balanced for four successive years.
And he, for want of a better word, graduates the most popular president in history, as I remember.
Well, I also think that his ability to campaign in every nook and cranny of the country speaks to that success. And again, one of the problems that we have today in America is that it is the unemployment rate. And everybody knows that there are approximately 10 million Americans who are unemployed. And even though the news is getting better, not to miss the point that it is an issue that I think contributes to the poisonous atmosphere that we all confront in Washington. And the worker participation rate is the key rate here. And that's where I think that the Clinton years were so successful. And nobody disputes how many jobs were created. We had quarters of growth that were north of 7%. And not only did we pay down the deficits and help pay down the debt, we eliminated the deficits. And Alan Greenspan said, you're paying off the debt too quickly. That clock in Times Square, which had chronicled the deficits, was turned off. So I think that part of this has been an effort on the part of Hillary Clinton to embrace the good days of the Clinton administration, and at the same time, it gives her a chance to explain the more difficult moments for her personally and professionally. And I think that's part of the modern presidential campaign. Every presidential aspirant writes a book, and it's their opportunity to get things out there before the gotcha moment of the media takes over. Mm-hmm. And I think that's precisely what you're witnessing here.
Okay, so I want to get a little other business done. The VA, let's go into a lightning round, a minute on each, okay? The VA.
Inexcusable. I held a get-together about a year ago at the Holyoke Soldiers Home, included representatives of the Northampton VA. I think in Massachusetts we do pretty well. But clearly, it appears as though the books were cooked in terms of waiting periods for many of our vets. There are a million more vets now because of Iraq and Afghanistan. they need to be taken care of in a professional manner.
Okay, how to do it?
Well, I think clearly there's going to be some opportunity here for some of them to seek private care when they can't break through.
Sure.
And you've seen the announcements that we're going to be hiring more physicians.
Yep.
And there's a two-year experiment coming up to clear up this backlog. These individuals should not be waiting around for months for procedures that could be accomplished in days.
Will the Republicans and Democrats get together on this one, or is it going to be business as usual?
I think we'll get together on this one.
Opioids. What are we going to do about that?
Well, I think that if we wait until it's just the emergency crew administering a drug that brings people back to life, we're going to be experimenting and experiencing a lot of bad moments, particularly in our older cities. And I think that clearly, if you're paying $3 a bag for heroin in Hartford, that you could see what's happened as a drug of choice for people in that market. And it is one of the largest factors in contributing to the destruction of the reputation of urban living. And in many cases, these are thugs. And not to miss the point, there are people that need serious help here, and we're going to have to come to their assistance. When you pick up the papers now, it's extraordinary to look at the number of young men and women in their 20s who are dying of heroin overdoses.
Student loans.
There is $1.2 trillion worth of debt that is out there. These young people cannot move. It is hurting entrepreneurship. We call it the boomerang generation. These are young people that have to move back in with their moms and their dads. They can't pick up and travel to the other part of the country if they're in New England or from California to this part of the country because they're hampered by student debt. That curtails entrepreneurship. That curtails risk-taking. And the idea that the government sits by while these young people are saddled with this debt is a huge miscalculation. And by the way, you've got a great story to tell. I was just up to Berkshire Community College, and they get it right. And their mission statement is consistent with their principle, and that is that college education ought to be affordable in providing a unique opportunity for people.
Have you endorsed anybody in the statewide races?
I have not. I have stayed away from it for the most part. I know them all very well, and we're going to have a pretty vigorous convention. And I think that anything at the moment that's suggest that this is settled is a mistake.
Is there any chance that Democrats can better their position in the House of Representatives?
It's going to be a long haul, but I think there are some pickoffs that I can see emerging as we speak.
I take it you're telling me that don't expect the Democrats to become the majority party.
We're running against the tide of history here. The president's party in the last 2 years of his administration generally does not fare well. It's going to be up to us to break that tide. Now, we were able to do that with Clinton in his last 2 years. In fact, we won seats against the Gingrich tide. And here, I think that it's going to be a bit more difficult at the moment, again, because the backdrop is an economy that is still fairly tepid.
You are a friend of D.A. Mark Mastroianni. He's become a federal judge, and now there's a new D.A. there, and you were the mayor of that city. What do you make of it?
Well, I got to tell you, I think that the public is very well served by Mike Ponzer, who is the presiding justice at the Federal District Court for the four western counties, and I think Mark Mastroianni was a terrific pick. The process worked. It was laborious. It's part of the unending battle here in Washington over federal judgeships. And they've even become part of, from time to time, I think, kind of reckless conversation. But Mark is a terrific candidate. He's going to make a superb judge. And Mike Ponzer sets the standard. And I must tell you that in the case of D.A. Orenstein, he's a solid pick.
All I can say is, Richard Neal, Richie, we love talking to you. You are always a great teacher above all. And we thank you so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Alan.